Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, Text 31 and 32. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Iti Abhipretya Manasa Yavantyo Dujasattamaha Unmuchya Hridaya Granthin Shanto Bhikshurabhun Muni. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Iti Abhipretya Manasa Yavantyo Dujasattamaha Unmuchya Hridaya Granthin Shanto Bhikshurabhun Muni. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Iti Abhipretya Manasa Yavantyo Dujasattamaha Unmuchya Hridaya Granthin Shanto Bhikshurabhun Muni. Jesus. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord said, Iti, thus, Abhipretya, concluding, Manasa, within his mind, he, indeed, Avantyaha, of the district of Avanti, Dujasattamaha, now the most pious Brahmana, Unmuchya, untying, Hridaya, in his heart, Granthin, the knots of desire, Shantaha, peaceful, Bhikshuhu, a mendicant sannyasi, Abhut, he became, Munihi, silent. Translation. Lord Shri Krishna continued, his mind thus determined that most excellent Avanti Brahman was able to untie the knots of desire within his heart. He then assumed the role of a peaceful and silent sannyasi mendicant. We are also reading text 32, since 31 doesn't have a purport. Sa cacharma himetam samyat atmendriyanilaha Bhikshartham Nagara Graman Asango Alakshito Vishat. Translation purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He wandered about the earth, keeping his intelligence, senses and life air under control. To beg charity, he travelled alone to various cities and villages. He did not advertise his advanced spiritual position and thus was not recognized by others. Purport. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the acceptance of the Tridandi Sannyas order of life is the chief indication that one has actually taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The three rods of the danda or staff of the Vaishnava Sannyasi indicate control of the body, mind and words by engaging them only in the loving service of the Lord. This procedure helps one to become more tolerant than a tree, as recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By strict control of one's body, mind and speech, the quality of tolerance becomes strengthened, and thus one manifests the further qualities of forgiving others, never wasting one's time, detachment from sense gratification, lack of false pride in one's work, and not hankering for liberation. One in this way gives up the mentality of materialistic persons who establish so-called affectionate relationships of mutual flattery and exploit each other for sense gratification. One who adopts the strict path of Krishna consciousness, following the footsteps of great souls, can achieve the shelter of the Lord. Hare Krishna. So, we are reading from this section of the Bhagavatam, the song of the Avanti Brahman. Several devotees have spoken in great detail about the pastime, in particular the background of the pastime. And the words that I am speaking about is Lord Sri Krishna is speaking to Uddhav about the consequence of the realization that Avanti Brahman is experiencing. So I'll make an attempt to speak on four things here. As time proceeds, let's see how much we cover. Basically, I would like to make an attempt here to speak about what are the various ways that Srimad Bhagavatam demonstrates by which Vairagya appears in the heart of a devotee. How does Vairagya manifest in the heart of a devotee, a person? What are the effects of this Vairagya? Third is, what is this Hridaya Granthi? And finally, we'll speak about what is the most difficult knot to entangle, which Avanti Brahman was able to, and therefore he is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this particular section. So I would not say that this analysis is super comprehensive. There are a lot of scholars sitting in amidst this assembly who can explain things much better, but this is as per my understanding. So he's saying, iti abhipretya manasa. Iti, the word iti is actually used to show some sort of conclusion. Does. That is the meaning of this word. Does means all these things happened and then this was the outcome of the whole thing. So he went through all that frustration, all that, you know, whatever anxiety he had to undergo because of losing his money and this and that. And very classic instructions about money and wealth comes in this section of Avanti Brahman about the 15 defects of earning money or having money and this and that. And it's nice to read as long as you don't have money. Once you have money, it's difficult to believe. How can this be true? So, iti abhipretya manasa, first of all, this is Bhagavatam is saying, Avanti Brahman concluded this in his mind. So basically, Vairagya is based on personal conviction and not popular opinion. That's the first thing. If somebody is trying to follow the path of Vairagya, I'm not talking about a specific ashram. I'm talking about the mentality of Vairagya, detachment. Then the first thing that happens is it has to be from personal conviction and not popular opinion. Iti abhipretya manasa. He concluded within his own mind that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But we'll see in the further verses of this particular section that how Although he accepted the path of vairagya and detachment, he became shanta, he became a bhikshu, he became very peaceful, he became non-envious. But the people around him kept ridiculing him, kept treating him with all kind of harsh words. In fact, this whole episode Krishna is speaking just to show how difficult it is to handle harsh speech. And all of us have been definitely recipients, but many times we have been also the giver of harsh speech to people. Right? And generally you give harsh speech to people whom you love the most. Right? You don't give harsh speech on the street. Even if somebody gives you harsh speech, you don't take it seriously. Somebody calls you something, right? Sometimes brahmacharis travel in local trains. I was in local train one day, got down at Grand Road station, and from the other, you know, Grand Road has this second number platform. The other platform, somebody called me, "Hey, Mirinda!" I was like, okay, no worries, fine. If somebody calls me Mirinda, chalega. At least he's remembering something cool, thanda. Mirinda chalega. Right? And then people call you all kind of names. Maharaj ji, aap pujari ho, pandat ho, ye ho, wo ho, haath dekhte ho, kya nahi dekhte ho, theek hai, chalega. Padhai likhai nahi kiye ho, kya, maine kaha chalega, abhi kya batayin isko. Kya kiye, kya nahi kiye. Naukri nahi lagi aapko, abhi kya batayin isko. Why to show him LinkedIn profile, right? You tolerate. Many times you tolerate because you don't identify with that situation. That sambandha gyan is not there. The sambandha is not there in that situation, so it's easy to tolerate. Theek hai, kuch to bola chala gaya. And you also give some words. Generally in this dress we can't give words, but internally the words come, right? But you release the words and you forget about it, you just move on. But when people are very close to you, and they give harsh words, forget harsh words, even a harsh glance is sufficient to make you unsettled, make you difficult, life becomes extremely difficult, right? These days if somebody is not answering your WhatsApp message but he is being continuously seen online, that itself creates tremor. Are mere se naraaz hai shayad. Maybe he is angry at me, maybe she is angry at me, she is upset with me because she is visible online but she is not responding. Right? But you can be online but still not seeing the messages. You know, there could be different things. WhatsApp has not yet removed this particular feature. The blue tick is removed but this online feature is still hanging around. So it's creating some troubles for some husbands. They reported like that. By the way, that was a joke. So, various ways by which Vairagya manifest, Bhagavatam is saying, in the case of Avanti Brahman, in the 13th verse of this chapter we read, he's saying, Dhyayato Dirgham. He did not attend a class of a brahmachari from Radha Gopina temple glorifying Vairagya. No. Dhyayato Dirgham. He contemplated about his situation for an extremely long period of time. What has happened to me? I was so prosperous, I was this, that, so much money, but now what happened? I'm on the street, nobody wants to talk to me, nobody wants to hear me, nobody wants to relate to me. Why? Dhyayato Dirgham. He contemplated about his own disappointment. Please understand. See, everything in this world has a purpose, has a flavor. Happiness and distress both has a purpose, provided we introspect about them properly. So says Dhyayato Dirgham, he contemplated about the cause of his situation for a long time. And therefore he came to a conclusion. Chanakya Pandit, Prabhupada quotes this verse several times in his purports, where he is saying that, Chanakya Pandit is quoting, is saying, Tyaja Durjana Samsargam Bhajas Sadhu Samagamam Kuru Punya Mahoratram Smara Nitya Anityatam. So one of the things that he says, if you want to make advancement in spiritual life, he's saying, Tyaja Durjana Samsargam. First of all, give up the association of people who are not inclined towards favorable service to Krishna. Tyaja Durjana Samsargam Bhajas Sadhu Samagamam. You stay in the association of devotees and perform devotional service. Hear about Krishna. Kuru Punya Mahoratram. Perform pious activities day and night. And finally he says, Smara Nitya Anityatam. Constantly contemplate about the temporary nature of this material world. Smara Nitya of Anitya. You have to constantly think about the anitya, right? So he's, he was able to manifest vairagya in his life because of dhyayato dirgham, by his own contemplation. Then in case of Ajamil, we see in the sixth chapter, it says, jata su nirveda. Nirveda means detachment. Su nirveda means perfect kind of attachment. Jata means born. Ja. Ja is called, that's why lotus is called Padmaja, something which is, Pankaja, something which is born of mud. Pank is actually mud. So ja is this use. So jata su nirveda, and he's saying how this detachment came in the life of Ajamil. Not because he was frustrated with his wife or prostitute, who was that lady who was living with him. Shana sangena sadhushu, Bhagavatam is saying. Shana sangena. So there is no, fixed definition of how vairagya, there is no fixed definition, fixed recipe for vairagya. There is no fixed recipe for detachment. You make this person do this, and vairagya will appear. No. Everyone is individual. Avanti Brahman had to do dhyayato dirgham. Here Ajamil is shana sangena. Just a moment's association with Vishnu Dutas. Just a few minutes. He just associated. And there was vairagya that appeared in his heart. And he introspected about his disposition. When the vairagya appeared, he introspected about his disposition. How was he mentally disposed? He repented for his wrongdoings. And the result of this vairagya was he became conscious and cautious. He became conscious of all the wrong things that he had done in his life, and he became cautious of what he should not be doing in life. So vairagya is very practical. What it does is, it doesn't create forgetfulness, but it creates awareness. In case of Pingala, we get this came in this canto only, where it is said, Dina chetasaha nirveda paramo yajye. So it is saying, again the word nirveda is being used. This detachment came in her life by Dina chetasaha. Dina chetasaha actually means, translated as, she was disappointed. She was waiting all evening, some customer will come, and nobody came, nobody turned around, and she was disappointed. And in that disappointment, she became detached from her profession. She became detached from her mindset. She became detached. She started thinking, the very thing that I was thinking would actually give me happiness has become the greatest cause of distress for me. So why should I be attached to this? Nirveda. So disappointment also can create vairagya in your life, in someone's life. And in case of the seventh canto of Bhagavatam, we see the Avadhut Brahman, whom Prahlad Maharaj is talking to. He is very interesting personality. And he is saying that, Karmani kurvatam drishtva. Just by seeing, he is developing detachment. Somebody else suffering, somebody else getting disappointed, somebody else undergoing the troubles. He is saying, Karmani kurvatam drishtva nivritto asmi viparyayam. He is saying, I see that people in this world come together for the purpose of experiencing pleasure. But what I have seen is when people actually come together, they experience distress. So seeing this, drishtva, he is observing. Nivritto asmi viparyayam. He got detached from this whole process of sensual indulgence. So we see this, how vairagya can come in anyone's life. So for us, it could be combination of all four. It could be sadhushu, shana sangena sadhushu, by association of devotees. It could be contemplation about our own situation, dhyayato dirgam, what has happened. It could be because of, like Pingala, dina chetasa, you are disappointed in your plans and frustrated in your plans. Or finally, in the case of Avadhut Brahman, just by looking at others, suffering so much, you get detached from this whole activity of sensual indulgence. So basically we see, it could be a combination of all four also, or either one. So vairagya develops in various ways, but vairagya is also, it is considered as the son of Bhakti Devi. So the way Bhakti Yogis develop vairagya in this world is not necessarily through disappointment or frustration, But just by the performance of devotional service, one gets vairagya. And actually that vairagya leads them to the stage of virakti. And there is a difference between these two. There is vairagya and there is virakti. Vairagya means you still have the taste for sense objects, but intellectually you say, you know, I don't want it. Virakti means even taste doesn't appear. Like somebody is too much attached to gulab jamun or whatever, right? And he has taken a vow during Chaturmas, I'll not eat sweets. But then the gulab jamun is right in front of him. So the taste is there, but he says, I will not eat. That is vairagya. Nahi khana hai mujhe. Because of my vow, or because last time when I ate, I had dysentery. Whatever experience comes to your mind, you say no to that sense object because of some other reason, that is vairagya. But when you say no to sense objects without any material reason, that is virakti. Virakti means I am not interested in this gulab jamun, whether it exists or doesn't exist. That is virakti. Right? So virakti comes only when you actually perform bhakti. Practice of jnana and karma, mundane religiosity doesn't lead to virakti. It can lead to vairagya, but not virakti. And then sometimes in vairagya, you are still thinking of the sense object, but in a negative sense. Therefore, Krishna actually speaks in the Gita that one should transcend both rules and regulations, attachment and aversion to sense object, both should be transcended. Because bhakti is practiced on the level of virakti, where you are just causelessly attracted to the all positive Srihari. So, this kind of vairagya, Bhagavatam says, comes by Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitah Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayada Hetukam. Janayati means she is the janani. Bhakti is this janani, right? Which leads to jnana and vairagya. Ahetukam, you don't have to ask for it, but it just comes. So now, what are the effects of this vairagya? In case of Avanti Brahman, we see striking contrast. Like this particular verse is explaining him, declaring him to be He Avantyo Dvijasattamaha. Dvijasattama means the most pious Brahman. And just few verses before, when Avanti Brahman was being described by Shukdev Goswami, who was, you know, speaking Krishna's words, he's explaining Avanti Brahman as Kadarayastu Kami Lubdho Ati Kopanaha. So what Kadaraya actually means very miserly. Kami means very lusty. Right? Lubdho means very greedy. And Ati Kopana means very prone to anger. So when one practices bhakti and it leads to certain kind of transformation in one's life, some transformations are externally visible, some transformations are internal. So these are the external transformation. Now instead of Kadaraya, who was miserly holding on to mentality, the next verse says, Sa chachara mahimetam. He started traveling all over the earth. There was no holding on to mentality. Even to a fixed place of residence, he was not holding on to. He just became totally detached, kept moving all around. Right? Then instead of kami, he became samyat atmendriyanila. He became totally self-controlled. Instead of lubdho, greedy, for money, he became bhikshu. He was surviving by minimal amount. Bhikshu means just, in traditional sense, bhikshu means you can't just keep begging whole day. You generally beg 4 or 5 people and then whatever they give, you survive. Because the idea is not just keep begging. The idea is to beg, maintain yourself in minimal and do bhajan. So instead of lubdho, he became a bhikshu. And instead of ati kopanaha, who is very angry, he became shanta, peaceful. Ati kopanaha, he became peaceful. You know, sometimes you go in the outs, you know, in the secular world, we have various kinds of tools people give to deal with anger. So one of the tools they say is drink cooling water. Thanda pani piyo. One fellow was telling me, he said, he attended something like that. So he said, Prabhuji, I tried to implement it. So in my office, I became very angry on my boss. So I went for the, what do you call this, water cooler to drink water. But the water cooler was not working, so I became more angry. So material solutions don't work. Unless the transformation happen on an internal level, anger, lust, greed, envy, pride, illusion doesn't disappear, no matter how much you embrace trees and talk to birds. It doesn't happen. The internal script has to change. The whole script has to change. Right? I don't know how many of you remember, but traditionally speaking, when we were in, not traditionally speaking, but when we were younger ones, young in our young age, we used to have these VCRs, video cassette players, VCP, video cassette recorders, and they used to have this huge cassette, and there will be this magnetic ribbon which goes, and if the tape has been used several times, the print goes a little haywire, you know? Wo line aane lagta tha, kuch bhi hone lagta tha. And even if you change the VCR, what you see on the screen doesn't change because the script has been corrupted. On that magnetic tape, the script is corrupted. No matter where you run, whether it is Onida, at that time Onida was there, or Western or Uptron, all these old brands which are no more visible anywhere, BPL, this is the effect of time factor, Kalasya Gati. But no matter if the print is, you know, corrupted, no matter what apparatus you use, what you see on the screen will be corrupted. So no matter what you use, materially speaking, if the script is still selfish, what you will experience on the surface is going to be all these experiences of anger and everything else. But the most critical transformation Bhagavatam is explaining is, he became alakshitaha. Alakshitaha means not making himself prominent, thus unrecognized. He became detached from the most difficult thing, which is desire for fame or pratishtha. Most difficult thing to handle is, or to get rid of, is the desire for pratishtha. To get rid of fame is easy. Do something nasty, you get rid of fame. To get rid of the desire for fame, Bhagavatam, and we will see that in future, you know, discussions, how it is so difficult. So basically, true renunciation, true sign of advancement in spiritual life is detachment from this most insidious of all anarthas, that is desire for fame. Sometimes we want to be famous for our devotional service also. You chant 108 rounds, chant 64 rounds, and the next thing you do is Instagram. Picture of the beads. These are the beads on which I chanted 64 rounds. Sorry, ball for me. You lost it, yeah. You lost it. It was supposed to be your internal bhajan connection with Krishna, and then you just made it public. Lost it. These days, even before people, even before people eat their order in a restaurant, first it has to go on Instagram. The pizza is in front, steaming hot, but first Instagram should eat that pizza, then I'll eat. Servant of the servant. Bhog lagate hain pehle, Instagram ko bhog lagate hain, uske baad khayenge. How can we eat without Instagram eating? And how can the dinner be complete without an Instagram picture? I'm not against Instagram. I'm not against Instagram. I'm not against Telegram. I'm not against MoneyGram. No problem. But I'm just making a point here how, you know, we all have a desire to be known. Nobody likes an unknown life. Unknown, nobody. The most difficult kind of, you know, prison, you know, imprisonment is solitary confinement. Why solitary confinement is considered most lethal and painful? Because you have no human interaction. No one knows what's happening with you. And it's a very painful thing psychologically. So, sometimes what happens, we may become proud, we may become famous about our preaching activities also. Right? We want to advertise, this is the place where I distributed Gita. Keep distributing Gita, that's not a problem. This is the place where I spoke, this is the gathering, this was, that. So, and you know, honestly speaking, people are not impressed by the information that we share with them, but they are changed by the transformation that they experience, not of themselves, of us. They want to see that this person who is speaking this information, how he has been transformed by this information. If he has not been transformed by this information, why should I bother to hear this information? Right? So one great saint, I think it's Saint Augustine, who said, or Saint Francis of Assisi, one of these two persons, he said that, he said that you should preach all day long, and if required, sometimes speak. That is, preaching has nothing to do with just speaking. It has to do a lot with behavior. So why, even while practicing a spiritual life, we don't tend to or seem to change internally? Our script is still the same. We try to do the same things, but just the field has changed. Right? Sorry for the example. Earlier, if somebody was drinking alcohol in a glass or a plastic cup, now if he starts drinking in an earthen pot, you can't celebrate that he became organic. He's eco-friendly. Why? Because he's in an earthen pot to drink alcohol. So nice, no? Most of the time, this is what is happening in the world today. They are just changing the container and getting glorified for changing the container. The content is still the same. Right? Content is still the same. So I'm not alluding anything to the Brahmachari Ashram or anything like that, but, you know, or any, in general, any devotee. But the example is this. Why is it? Because the internals have not changed, even though change the externals, the effect that it creates doesn't change. So why is it that even after practicing spiritual life, speaking about myself, we don't see much change happening internally? So one disciple came to his Guru Maharaj and he says, Gurudev, I have been hearing your lecture, doing so much seva, nothing is happening. No transformation has happened. What the hell is going on? So Guru said, get a bottle. Matlab, Marathi they call it khamba, right? Right. Get a liquor bottle. And disciple was like, Guruji, sab theek hai na? Matlab, it's like all right. I mean, are you also frustrated like me that nothing is happening? You're changing your mind. And said, no, just get it. So he got this bottle of liquor. He said, take it in your mouth. Kya baat kar rahe? No, take it in your mouth. Don't drink, take it in your mouth. And gargle rinse your mouth with alcohol. So he took daru, he took alcohol ka gargle ke. Now spit it out. He spat it out. He said, nasha hua kya? Nahi. I didn't get intoxicated. Why you didn't get intoxicated? He said, I didn't drunk it, yeah. I just gargled, rinsed my mouth and spat it out. How will I get intoxicated? He said, exactly. You are simply rinsing your mouth with the spirituality. You are not letting it get in. What can I do? You are simply rinsing your mouth with religiosity. You are simply rinsing your mouth with the spirituality. You are simply rinsing your mouth with devotional service. You are not letting it get in. How will you get intoxicated? Then this gentleman understood, I have to go deeper. Internal job has to be done. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this, Hriday Granthi means self-interest. It is caused by Ahankara. That is the cause of this Hriday Granthi. So the third part I wanted to discuss was, what is this knot in the heart? He is saying, Unmuchya Hriday Granthi. He was able to untie the knots of desires in his heart. He was able to untie the knots of desires in his heart. So, unmuch hriday granthi. So, what ties, so these desires are the knots. Gaat, maate na? Gaat, maate. Like when you do this NCC camps, they teach you various kinds of knots. Alag alag prakar ki gaat bandhna sikhate hain. Some of the knots are easy to open and quick to open. Some of the knots you can't open. The only thing you can do is cut it. So similarly, there are desires which are like knots in the heart. Right? There are some knots in the heart. So what ties the knot in this world? Srimad Bhagavatam explains in great detail in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't have time to go through everything. But he's saying, there, Rishabhdev is saying, Nunam pramattaha kurute vikarma. Yad indraya pritaya apranoti. So what ties the knot in this world is this activities for Indra Preeti. Not Indra. Indra means senses. Indriya Preeti. When we start acting just for the purpose of sensual pleasures, then the knots in the heart get tied. Various kinds of desires, either nice desire to eat nice food stuff, desire to see something beautiful, desire to taste something wonderful, desire to, you know, touch something soft, desire to whatever experience you want to get. These desires are like the knots in the heart, he's saying. And what happens because of these desires? One starts performing sinful acts for the purpose of sense pleasure. And Bhagavatam is saying how Hriday Granthi gets formed one after the other. పుంసస్త్రిమిథుని భావమేతం తయోర్మితు హృదయ గ్రంథి మాహు అతో గృహక్షేత్ర సుతప్త విత్తేర జనస్య మోహో అయం అహమ్మమేతి. హి టేక్స్ ఎన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ బట్ ద వర్డ్ దట్ ఈస్ క్రూషల్ హియర్ ఇస్ 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 మిథ హృదయ గ్రంథి. వెన్ ద సెన్సెస్ ఇంట్రాక్ట్స్ విత్ ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ యూ స్టార్ట్ క్రియేటింగ్ ఎ నాట్. నౌ డిపెండింగ్ అపాన్ ఇఫ్ ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇస్ లైవ్ ఆర్ డెడ్ మ్యాటర్ ద ఇంటెన్సిటీ ఆఫ్ ద నాట్ ఇస్ డిఫరెంట్. లైక్ ఐ మే బి అటాచ్డ్ టు దిస్ ఫోన్, I'm definitely attached, but just in case, you know, I'm attached to the phone is not attached to me. The phone may go into some pickpocket's hands and it will function similarly. It is not that the phone will start behaving irrationally. The phone is okay. The phone is not attached. Because the object of attachment is dead matter. But if the object of attachment is a living personality, then they say the knot is extremely difficult. The knot becomes extremely difficult. What are the greatest kind of pain youngsters experience? Breakups. What is a breakup? Breakup means the other person has untied the knot and you are still hanging. Not untied, they cut the knot. Right? And your rassi becomes like shredded in all directions. You are not able to understand what. So mind gets shredded. So many times, you know, people come, Prabhuji, ye ho gaya, wo ho gaya. Once, a young person came to me and they said, Prabhuji, I need to talk to you. And I go, but about what you want to talk? He said, Prabhuji, I had a breakup. And I go, oh, really? Very sorry to hear that. Please, let's sit and talk. And he said, this is a young girl. And she said, this is my 14th breakup. And I said, but when did you start? If this is your 14th breakup, when did you start? But imagine the culture that we are living in, people are not experiencing the innocence of their life. They are tying knots so early, and if the knot is not tied, people are impatient. Gaant nahi bandhiye. I don't have anybody. I don't have any friend. I don't have any boyfriend. I don't have any girlfriend. No, gaant nahi bandhiye. People are excited to just tie the knot. I'm not against getting married or anything like that. It's not a frustrated brahmachari speaking something, not like that. But I'm just saying an observation of what's happening in the world. People are excited. People are all enthused. They have huge festivals and everything, huge websites and huge, you know, social media portals just to tie the knot. And nowadays people are not satisfied with one knot. They have multiple knots simultaneously existing. Right? Imagine the pain that it can create. Right? Infidelity and, you know, lack of integrity in relationship is so common these days. So, he's saying, Hridaya Granthi is tied because one thing leads to another. How do you know that your sensual indulgence is not a need but it has become a want is one thing will lead to another. If it's a need, it will be satisfied then and there and you will focus on your purpose. If it has become a want, then a need, then one thing would lead to another. Oh, now I have this, can I have this also? Can I have this also? Can I have this also? One knot after the another knot after another knot after another knot. That's what Bhagavatam is explaining here. So actions are the seeds of material life. Right? Actions are like sowing the seeds. Seeds itself is like a desire. Actions based on the desire like sowing the seeds. Meditation on those desires is like watering that seed. Bhagavatam at least twice actually it says in the 4th canto and I think 11th canto it comes, Dhyayato Vishayanasya Samsmritir Na Nivartate. Why the material existence of a jiva doesn't get over? Because his meditation from sense objects doesn't stop. Going back to Krishna has nothing to do with external change. External change is simply to assist this internal transformation. And if the internal transformation is not happening, externals will not save us. It is not going to save us, right? You know, sometimes, I don't know, some medical doctors can actually correct me. But if you take a syringe without a liquid in it, just air inside, and if you put it in some intravenous place, what will happen? You are basically injecting an air bubble in his vein. What will happen? He can die? It could be disastrous. It could work against him. I'm not a medical man, so I don't know. But somebody said it's very dangerous. That's why they, when they fill a liquid, they actually make sure that the liquid comes up to that, you know, syringe, whatever, the needle, and then they squeeze the liquid inside. Imagine practicing a spiritual life without an internal substance. We are just putting air in our veins. We'll burst open. Without an internal substance. The substance has to be there in order to experience transformation. Otherwise it becomes very phony. So how to untie that knot? Bhagavad Gita is saying in this 15th chapter, I think third verse, he says, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Sorry, this analogy comes because the place where I come from. So when they do, you know, slaughter, there are two kinds of slaughter. There is jhatka and there is halal. So halal means you cut the jugular vein of the animal and it dies slowly. Jhatka means you just bring. So what is Krishna recommending? As far as the knots in the heart are concerned, he is recommending jhatka treatment. Asanga shastreda dridhena chitva. Just come and slash it. Jada sochega to cut nahi payega phir. Just cut it. Ek dusre ko kaatne ki baat nahi chal rahi yahan pe. It's not about with the recent developments of the Supreme Court. I'm not alluding to anything here. But asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. You know, sometimes you have a rope, but if I give you a blunt knife to cut that rope, how much time will you take? A long time. Try, you know, sometimes when we do vegetable cutting, brahmacharis do vegetable cutting in the kitchen downstairs, and then there is this bhopla. This huge bhopla, which has to be cut. And if the knife is blunt, nothing happens to bhopla. Because it is such a thick skin, you have to use really a sharp and a heavy knife. Even sharp knife alone is not sufficient. The knife should be heavy also. Right? It has to be heavy and sharp and catch. So we used to have Harivenu Prabhu. He would take this bhopla and catch. You will just cut it so hard and that, you know, you make some small pieces and then you take the smaller knives to just peel it off and cut it off, whatever. The knots in the heart are so hard, a blunt knife, to forget it. And if you keep trying to cut the rope with a blunt knife, experiences frustration. Kya de diya mujhe, cut nahi raha ye. And then you start giving gali to the rope only. And then to the person who gave you the knife and told you to cut this. He said, who gave me this knife? It is not working only. Are Baba, knife will work. You have to sharpen it every day. But if you have a sharp knife, what one rope? You can keep cutting rope morning till evening, no problem. You can cut other people's rope also. Meri cut ke teri bhi kaatta hun. Because the knife is sharp. Right? So when bhakti is tivra, tivrena bhakti yogena, when bhakti is tivra, experience is confidence. Experience of bhakti is conviction. Experience of bhakti is blissful. Why? The knot is getting cut. Dikh raha hai mere ko, khach kata. मेरा नहीं दूसरे का भी काट के आया मैं तो दैट इज प्रीचिंग लिटरली आई एम सेइंग नॉट लिटरली आई एम लाइक फिगरेटिवली आई एम सेइंग दिस इज व्हाट इज हैपनिंग बट इफ योर ओन नाइफ इज ब्लंट यू आर नॉट कन्विंस्ड दैट माय रोप कैन बी कट व्हाट एंथुसियाज्म विल वी हैव टू गो एंड कट अदर पीपल्स रोप एंड इफ यू फाइंड पीपल डिससैटिस्फाइड विद देयर रोप यू विल टेल देम हैंग योरसेल्फ विद द रोप बाबा आई कांट कट दिस रोप यू डील विद योर ओन प्रॉब्लम आई कांट द नाइफ हैज टू बी शार्प एंड हैवी. So this knife is a spiritual knowledge. The stone on which you rub that knife is Bhagavatam. That intelligence has to be rubbed every day on the Bhagavatam to become very sharp. And Guru's order is that heaviness in that knife which will cut it. Just sharp knife. You cannot cut a bhopla with an awl pin. Although it is very pointed, you can't cut a bhopla with an awl pin. You want a sharp and a heavy knife to cut it. Krishna is saying, asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. Where this dridhata comes from? It actually comes from pleasing great souls. One gets this determination. So, Kardma Muni is actually telling this to Devahuti. Chetate hridaya granthim audaryo brahma bhavana. Very interesting. He uses these two words. Audaryo. Audaryo is not magnanimity here. Audaryo means one who is born from your udar. That is Kapila. He says, this Kapila who will be born from your udar, he will give you Brahma Bhavana. He will give you Bhavana towards Brahman. He will give you Bhav towards Brahman. With that, Chitta Hridaya Granthi, you will be able to cut this knot of material existence, my dear wife. Kardama is telling Devahuti. So this is interesting. First of all, there has to be a relationship with the person whose instructions you are trying to follow. Kardama, first of all, establish the relationship. Sa Udara, Audaryo, he is born from you. You are connected to him. And therefore, when you hear his instructions, follow them. That will cut the knot in the heart. So, Bhagavatam, Canto 1 gives description by which this knot is slackened. He's saying, Yad anudhyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharatim. So, Bhagavatam is saying, anudhyasina, asina literally means a sword. Anudhyasina yukta, you have to be yukta, you have to be holding this sword of what? Anudhyana, remembrance of Krishna. The same thing which creates entanglement in material world can create liberation from this material world. What is that? Anudhyana, remembrance. Saying anudhyasina yukta karma granthi nibandhanam. Again, granthi is cut by this sword of remembering. But how does taste for hearing about Krishna appears? Right? How does taste for hearing about Krishna appears? How does the ability to hear about Krishna appears? You may have a sword, it may be heavy, it may be very sharp, but if you don't have the capacity to lift that sword, can you cut the knife? Can you cut the rope? Not possible. I remember once with the BTs, we had gone to this place called Haldighati. Remember? Haldighati, we had gone and there is this museum where there is, Rana Pratap's, armor and the swords. And these people in the museum were telling us that the sword of Rana Pratap would weigh around 50 kgs. And Rana Pratap would carry two such swords. One for himself and one in case the opponent doesn't have. मैंने कहा वो तो सोर्ड से नीचे बैठ जाएगा वो खेल and he was telling all these things that how Rana Pratap would slice the warrior along with the horse. He would take the sword and slice the warrior from head to toe, and with that horse also used to get cut. And I was like, wow, amazing. And I was thinking about poor Chetak. मैंने कहा Chetak had to run with these two swords plus Rana Pratap, who can handle, can you imagine the weight and the capacity of the personality who is handling a sword which is weighing 50 kgs? Wrist itself must be so powerful, person has to be so powerful, armor is so difficult to handle. With all that weight, Chetak is running. But imagine you have a sword, very sharp, very powerful, heavy and everything, you can't even budge it. Then what is the use? You can't take a rope and rub against the sword. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You'll get more entangled in the knot. You can't hold the knot. You have to hold the knife in your hand. How do you get that strength to pick up that sword? Bhagavatam, like a mother, is actually informing us. Shushusho shaddhanasya vasudeva katharuchi syan mahat sevaya. Right, like in traditional times, if you have to become a kushti champion, kushti, wrestling, traditional wrestling. First of all, you have to become shagird of an ustad. And then that shagird doesn't fight the wrestling competition immediately. First of all, he does malish for ustad. He prepares weights for ustad. He gets a milk glass for ustad. He doesn't get to drink. Ustad ko pilao. Ustad ki malish karo. Ustad ke kardan dabao. Ustad, gardan matlab, not in that sense, but the shoulders have to be pressed. Ustad. And then once he serves ustad, then shagird is taught something. Mahat sevaya. It works everywhere. If you serve a great personality, great means accomplished personality, in the spiritual life we are talking about great Vaishnavas, you get the strength to pick up that weapon of detachment. Otherwise it looks very attractive, but we are not able to relate to that weapon of detachment because it is so heavy. So saying mahat sevaya vipra, one actually gets this ability. And what happens when one starts hearing about Krishna? Krishna personally gets interested in the life of a devotee who has developed an urge to hear his messages. शृण्वताम स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्य श्रवण तीर्थना हृदंतस्तु भद्राणी विधुनोति सुहृत सताम. कृष्ण बिकम्स एग्रीज टू बिकम अ जैनिटर इन आर हार्ट टू क्लेंज इट अप पर्सनली कम्स राइट. सो Bhagavatam explains in the sixth canto that what does Krishna thinks when somebody chants his name? I don't have time to describe everything, but he says, the sixth canto says, Yatastad Vishayamatihi. If Krishna hears someone chant, you know who is most attentive in our chanting? Definitely not we. The Lord. Krishna is here who is chanting my name. He says, Yatastad Vishayamatihi. One who chants my name, as soon as I hear him chanting my names, I take it upon myself to deliver and help that person. That it is my, the protection of this person lies in my hands. Yatastad Vishayamati. Krishna gets active in the life of a devotee. And when the heart is thus cleansed, then Nishtha appears in the heart. Right? Nashtaprayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Naishthiki Bhakti means, Bhanu Maharaj explains, Nishtha is the stage where there is 50% Krishna and 50% Maya in the heart of a devotee. As he goes on increasing, Krishna goes on increasing, Maya goes on reducing. But below Nishtha, danger. Anytime, anything can go wrong. As he was telling us, we asked him a question once. He said, Maharaj, how do we ensure that devotees, we never leave the path of devotional service, we become very focused and you know, Maharaj is very, he said, oh, very simple. Just come to Nishtha. That's it. And I was like, Nishtha after Anarth Nivritti and all these things you have to come to. Yeah, Nishtha you are there, then there's no problem. After that, Bhagavatam, that particular verse, sorry, not Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita, that particular verse uses the word Syat. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anarth Nivritti Syat. Syat literally means, after that the stone starts rolling under gravity. You don't have to do much efforts. Once you reach the level of Nishtha and Ruchi, then the pull gets stronger from the top. They are pulled up. Especially on the levels of, you know, Asakti, Bhav and Prem. And then Bhagavatam is saying in these initial verses that the Ruchi appears. Ruchi means a stage of Bhakti. Ruchi is one of the stages in Bhakti. That appears and the effects of modes disappears and he becomes happy at this stage. Sthitam sattve prasidati. And then further stages manifest and one becomes joyful in devotional service. Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattu vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. Prasanna manaso. He becomes joyful in the practice of devotional service. Basically the initial stages of bhava and prema begins to manifest in the heart of a devotee simply by hearing. Now this is interesting. If you want to experience bliss in the performance of devotional service, these two things are critical. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogataha and Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam. Bhakti Yogataha means practical devotional service. Tattva Vijnanam means knowledge about Sri Hari. Both these things have to grow parallelly for us to have a wholesome experience in devotional service. Otherwise it will not be prasanna manaso, it will be khinna manaso. Grudgingly. Our bhajan will not be Preeti Purvakam, it will be Graj Purvakam. Right? And then Krishna doesn't reveal if it is Graj Purvakam. It is only through Preeti Purvakam. So joy in bhakti doesn't come by how comfortable we are, but to the degree we are absorbed. It is not about how externally, I'm not saying you make your life mess by making it uncomfortable. Keep the life comfortable as much as is required, so that the mind gets focused in Krishna. Right? Just like a doctor wears those surgical gloves. That's not a decoration. It is not that doctor also goes for a party with surgical gloves in hand. Sundar lag rahe hain, achhe lag rahe hain, aise pehnenge. No. Similarly, comfort, similarly, facilities in life are like that surgical glove. Important is the operation. Doctor can't sit in the operation theater looking at the surgical gloves. Kitne achhe gloves hain. Wo patient mar jayega udhar. Arre utha, chaku utha, kaat ise. There is a purpose why you are wearing a surgical gloves. So the purpose of comfortable life is now life is comfortable. You don't have to think about this body. Now use this body to engage the mind in Krishna's lotus feet. Use it. Immediately. Don't just keep looking at the comforts. Right? Because mind will change your reality if it is not absorbed. From comfort to discomfort in a very short span of time. almost immediately, right? So then when one attains prema, he's saying that all the doubts are destroyed and all knots are pierced. So we have to untie the knots with this world and tie knot with Krishna. But while performing simple process of devotional service, sometimes we don't experience the change of heart. Although I'm over time, I'll just finish this quickly, this last part, because that is the word that is being used in this verse. If someone wants to leave for some service, please feel free to do so. The reason why, you know, acharyas are explaining, His Holiness Gaur Govind Maharaj has, there's a compilation of his lectures. The book is called Trinadapi Suni Chena. So in that book, actually he's writing why people, even after performing devotional service for a long period of time, doesn't experience change of heart is because they lose their simplicity. All of us remember the first kirtan, the first khichdi plate, the first sukudi, the first ladle of halwa. Oh my God. What an experience that was. The first kirtan, oh my God, why? Once Gaurampur was explaining, the first three kirtans in ISKCON are free. First three kirtans are free after payment, after that payment begins. Payment means you have to basically have be enthusiastic to experience that bliss. And so many times we experience, right, roaring kirtan is going on. I have found myself and I am standing in the corner looking at the deities and looking at these younger ones chanting and dancing, and I am thinking cynically, kudle, dekhta hun. Right? Why does that cynicism appears? Gaur Govind Maharaj is saying, you lose simplicity. And why do you lose simplicity? Because of desire for pratishtha. For desire for fame. He's saying kapatyata, crookedness, is a paramour of pratishtha. Pratishtha and kapatya are in relationship with each other. Very deep, loving relationship. They don't go one without the other. As soon as pratishtha goes, kapatya follows. Right? And one acharya is saying that fame is always unmarried. Because somebody who's running after her, she never gets in his hand. And the one whom she runs after, he's not interested. So she always remains unmarried. Figuratively speaking, right? So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that one should not become Bodo Bhakta. One should become Bhalo Bhakta. Don't try to become a great devotee. Become a good devotee. That's what will take us back to Krishna. So, Pratishtha, I won't talk about the dangers of it. We don't have so much time. All of us are aware of it. But the idea is when you don't get fame, you get envious of those who get it. And when you get fame, you become arrogant. There's a problem with this fame. Like we see in the example of Daksha offending Lord Shiva. He becomes envious of Lord Shiva just because of the exalted position, the pratishtha that Lord Shiva was enjoying as an exalted Paramahamsa. Daksha became envious of him, right? Or we see Indra disrupting the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj. He's Shat Kritu. But as soon as his position is challenged, is threatened, now Indra maintains the whole cosmic creation through rains. But that same Indra, all respects to him, same Indra, just because of his desire for pratishtha, is creating a whole genre of reckless behavior in the form of pseudo-spiritualism. It is that all these external forms that Indra took, while Prithu Maharaj's horse he was trying to hide, all of them became like different kind of spiritual, so-called pseudo-spiritual sampradayas and all those things, which actually disrupted the equilibrium of the society in general. And when you get fame, you become arrogant. Like we see Indra himself, he is being glorified, eulogized in heavenly planets, and Brihaspati comes and he forgets to even respect him. Subtle arrogance was there. In Mahabharata, before Indra comes to ask for the, you know, Kavach and Kundal of Karna, Surya comes to Karna. Surya is his father. And he tells Karna, hey, tomorrow or very soon this Indra is going to come in the guise of a Brahman and going to ask you for this Kavach and Kundal. Don't give him. And Karna says, I am not worried about my life, but I am very much attached to my pratishtha. My fame as Danavir should not go in vain. And Surya said, useless fellow. And Surya can't even say, Mitra Bapu. Karna doesn't know this. Karna comes to him only when Kunti reveals. Then Surya says, okay, if you're not interested in what I'm telling you, so when you are after Pratishtha, even good advice doesn't fall in our heart. So he says, okay, if you are not willing to follow what I'm saying, then at least ask for a Shakti weapon in remuneration so that you can deal with Arjun at least for once in a while. Right? So we see that material desires leads to craving for honor and pratishtha. And how do devotees deal with it? Three ways which could come to my understanding. First is honest acceptance of that pratishtha. If pratishtha comes, we honestly accept it, but doesn't allow it to hit our head, but allow it to transform our hearts. Example is Prithu Maharaj, when he's being glorified by all these bards, and he's saying, "Arey, I haven't even done anything. Why are you glorifying me? You glorify me later when I manifest those activities." He accepted the pratishtha, but he said, "Let me do something, then you glorify, no problem with the glorification part." So one level of understanding is we can accept, and we all become happy when we get some fame, isn't it? We all get some happiness, and all glories to YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and this and that. You know, it gives some sort of pleasure. Oh, achha lag raha hai. But the nature of this material world is, if you gave a talk and 100 people watched that talk, the second talk, you are not satisfied with 100. 200 to honai chahiye yaar. This is the nature of this material world. Nothing will satisfy you. Externally speaking, even if you have, no matter what numbers, the satisfaction should come from the contribution, not from the reciprocation. We are satisfied giving contribution to the world, not with the reciprocation, necessarily. So, second is devotional engagement of fame. You get famous and then you expand Krishna Seva. Classic example is Madhavendra Puripad. He gets this fame, he wants to run away from this fame. By the time he reaches Jagannath Puri, can you imagine from Remuna to Jagannath Puri, his fame reaches faster than him in an age where there was no Instagram, no Facebook, no Twitter, no Snapchat. Why? Krishna wants it to spread faster. So it just is spreading fast, and by the time Madhavendra Puripad comes to Jagannath Puri, he wanted to leave that place, but he thought, let me use this fame in expanding service to Gopalji. And he used it. And then he procured Chandan, he procured permissions, and he made all these arrangements for Chandan to be brought back. So some people have the ability to devotionally engage fame. Not everyone. Some people have the ability to devotionally engage that fame. And devotees accept fame only for expanding Krishna Seva. And the third way people actually understand is indifference to fame. Like the classic example is that of Vishnu Dutas. As soon as Ajamil was about to speak something, about to glorify Vishnu Dutas disappeared from their place. They didn't want it to be glorified. They were not even least interested. They were not like, Ajamil, kya bol raha hai? Jaldi bol yaar, jana hai hame. No, they just disappeared. It's not that out of the four Vishnu Dutas, one of them left a WhatsApp number, text kar dena, we will share in our group. No, they just disappeared. Why did they disappear? They were least interested in being glorified. They were just focused on seva. We have done our seva. Let the glory go to the master, not to us. Indifference to fame. They just moved on from that situation. So, saintly persons are like flowing rivers. Right? A river always rushes to the lowest point. That is the nature of the river. The river always rushes to the lowest point, and as river is rushing, it replenishes everybody around. And people may treat the river however. They may spit on it, they may wash themselves, they may worship it. River doesn't stop for either. River keeps rushing. For its own purification, river just depends on two things. Its own flow and heat of the sun. Similarly, a devotee keeps running towards his purpose of surrendering his life to Krishna, using everything for Krishna's service, running to the lowest point of becoming a servant of the servant of the servant. And in that situation, some people may worship him, some people may call all kind of ill names to him. He doesn't stop. He just keeps running. And for everything that he experiences in this world, he just depends on his own flow of bhakti and Krishna's grace to get purified, to keep running towards this ultimate destination of Krishna's lotus feet. And aspiration of the river is always to run to the lowest position. Whatever happens otherwise, always to run to the lowest position. Whatever happens otherwise is incidental. That's not the focus. Similarly, a devotee's aspirations to become in the hearts of heart as the lowest of the low, not in activities but in consciousness. Activities are highest. Consciousness is like that. Humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, lowest of the low. That's his aspiration. He's still not there. That's his aspiration. He's running towards it. And he only depends on his own practice of bhakti and Krishna to maintain that flow happening. And that's how one continues. Despite fame or despite infamy, he keeps running towards Sri Hari. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sorry for taking extra time. And I hope and pray this helps devotees in practice of their own devotional service. And if I've spoken something which sounds too haughty, I sincerely beg forgiveness and seek your prayers. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rashi Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. By God, Prema Nandi.